on.com.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Dr. Dewey Murdick is the program manager of FUSE, Foresight and Understanding from Scientific Exposition.
There's a lot of desire to keep our decision leaders, give them insights so they can anticipate technical change rather than just react to it. So analysts are continually looking through a lot of information, trying to find what technologies and what capabilities are coming around the corner that we need to be able to respond to.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
Agencies across the federal government are offering buyouts to employees. Is yours one of them? Check out Federal News Radio's buyout guide at federalnewsradio.com, search term buyouts.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Lisa DeZutti. Lisa is the president and CEO of Market Connections, one of the best research firms in the government market. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Great to be here. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And we're going to be talking social media today, and the main reason we're talking social media today is that you have an event coming up. Let's start with a little bit of information on that before we get into your background.
Sure. The event coming up is going to be on Tuesday, October 18th at the Tysons Corner Marriott. Starts at 8 o'clock, networking and breakfast. We will be presenting a summary of our most recent social media study. We're then going to have a great panel that will probably run till about 10:30. We have someone from GSA, DJ Caulfield, Jack Holt from DOD, and then three other industry panelists, someone from Polycom, someone from Deloitte, and then someone from Intelsat General. So we have a great panel that's going to comment on study results as well as what they're doing in the social media realm.
Yeah, Steve Lunsford from Deloitte.
Steve Lunsford from Deloitte, Nancy Nolting from Intelsat, and Meredith Lawrence from Polycom.
I don't know the other two, but Steve and I met via LinkedIn and Gov2O Radio and a variety of other things that he has been involved in, including GovLoop. So,
yeah, I'm very excited about the panel, and the panel is going to be moderated by Mark Hausman with Strategic Communications Group. They've partnered with us on the study and the event this year. So it's going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there.
Mark was a speaker at one of my government marketing best practices early this year over at Mason. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. And yeah, he's a good speaker and a good moderator. So
he's a good social networker.
Absolutely.
And there we go.
That's why we're partnering with them.
Oh, that's a plus. Let's get some background from you about you, and then we'll migrate into some background on Market Connections.
Sure. So my background, really, I spent many years at GTSI. Prior to that, in my early years, I worked for an industrial sales company, moved in sort of, by accident into the IT technology world, went to work for a firm called Entree Computers out in Tysons Corner, and from there migrated over to GTSI, where I spent probably close to 8 years there. In a variety of roles, always having market research under my umbrella, worked in marketing, marketing communications, worked in strategic planning, and, as I think we've talked before, was kind of there. I was speaking with someone yesterday about it, was there during the heyday.
Yep.
It was a great experience, and I stay in touch with many of the people that I worked with there, and And you and I both, unfortunately, attended the memorial service last week of Harry Heisler, who was the VP of marketing while I had my tenure there. So that was a big loss for all of us.
The late, great Harry. It was
the late, great Harry.
You know, a wonderful guy to know and just a tremendous human being to play with business-wise or personal-wise.
He really was. I mean, he was very colorful, funny. He didn't, you know, really give a damn about being politically correct.
Yeah.
He usually wasn't. He could use more curse words in a single sentence than anyone I've ever known.
Well,
but
yeah,
we all loved him. He was a genuine, smart, funny guy. It was a real pleasure to work with him.
People used to think that I was very colorful because I flavored my language in a similar way, but I never, ever, ever held a candle to Heisler.
Anyway, he will be missed. But yeah, I think it was late '89, and of course I'd contemplated it for a few years prior to that. I struck out on my own and started Market Connections. And
actually, it was '93 or '94.
Was it that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right. Because we're coming up on
16-year anniversary.
We're coming up on 16 years. Our 16-year anniversary will be in February.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. It's gone by so quickly. And, you know, we really didn't start out to be the B2G market research expert, but that really is something that we quickly fell into, and it's what we've become known for. And our focus really is on custom primary research, serving companies and contractors that are serving the federal, state, and local, any entity really in the public sector. We do a lot of work with companies that are selling into the education segment as well. And the research can vary. It can be customer satisfaction around contracts that they're holding to make sure that they're well-positioned for recompetes. It could be for those that are making investments in marketing, what's the return on that investment dollar? You know, how are they perceived in the market relative to their competitors? So the research that we do really runs the gamut, but the 90% of what we do is custom to every client. What we're talking about today, the social media study that we've done, and it's the second year that we've done it, is something that's off the shelf. We don't do a lot of those, but we do a few of those every year. The other kind of new thing that I think I may have mentioned to you before on one of your shows, a new area for us that we started 2 years ago, started pushing into not just serving federal employees, which we've done for many, many years on behalf of our clients, but we're now doing research directly for federal employees. So we're doing research projects for GSA, for the Department of Ed. We have our GSA schedule, and so that's been a lot of fun.
You're using your GSA schedule.
We are, so.
And,
yes.
And more importantly, the government's using your GSA schedule.
More importantly, the government is using our GSA schedule. So
cool.
That's been a fun new push for us. We really have enjoyed not just interviewing them anymore, but actually providing research services and value to them from the other end.
Okay, that's pretty neat. Run down the short list of things that you're surveying for them, if you can.
Well, you know, again, that really varies. For Department of Education, we've done some things around websites that are being used. So it really centers around citizen outreach and how effective they are. For GSA, since GSA is selling services to other agencies, you know, we've been doing that kind of outreach. It can be customer sat. It can be marketing messaging, testing messaging. Are they really putting out there the most effective messaging, again, to kind of get that ROI on the dollars that they're spending? So it really runs the gamut.
Okay. What kind of tools does Market Connections use in the social media realm? I know you started relatively early with blogging.
We did, you know, and it's funny when I was thinking about when did we start with blogging, it's actually earlier than I would have guessed. But when I went and looked back, we started our blog back in 2006, and we pretty quickly realized that it was the primary and interesting to me, because I have to say, back in 2006, I was sort of drugged to the blog. I was like, oh, do we really need to do it? We can barely keep up with our monthly newsletter. You know, it was one of those things. But quickly we realized that was the primary source of traffic to our website, higher than anything else that was driving traffic to our website. The blog really was pushing a lot of people there. So we have kept that up. We've expanded it. We don't post every day, but we generally post 2 to 3 times a week, on our blog. And, you know, we're tweeting and then retweeting things as well. So we really have tried to stay on top of that. We introduced our Twitter handle at the social media event last year. And over the course of the next week, we tripled our followers, and people started tweeting and retweeting the content of our events. And we, real time, I think at that, you know, even just as recent as last year, saw the power of social media. And we continue to kind of expand how we're using it. We don't get a lot of, in terms of how we execute on our work, we don't get the bulk of our survey responses via social media, but we do absolutely use it as another push, another mechanism to invite people to participate in the surveys that we're using. We've done this recently on a cyber and open source online survey that we did. We post survey links in discussion groups in GovLoop, on LinkedIn, and a lot of the online communities that are on these sites help us target the individuals that we want to reach depending on the survey topic. So we are using it, we continue to use it, and we see that piece of it growing. Another big use for us is around recruiting, as I'm sure it is for a lot of our fellow companies and contractor clients.
Let's talk about recruiting on the other side of the break. My guest today is Lisa DeZutti. Lisa is the president and CEO of Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's John Edgar, VP for Information Technology at the Postal Service, on the Storage Efficiency Panel sponsored by NetApp.
You know, if you look at the Postal Service with the data that we capture, again, there's more mail products, more data about the products. We're moving towards more real-time, near-real-time data collection from the mail carriers out on the street, vehicles, tie in the geospatial information for movement of vehicles and all that. The growth of that data is exponential.
To hear more, visit federalnewsradio.com, keyword storage.
How can you reduce your agency's IT budget and support the mission even more effectively? Here's a simple strategy. Cut one of your biggest IT expenditures in half. NetApp storage is flexible and easy to manage. It also requires far less hardware, at least 50% less for virtualized environments. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like Thundercat Technology. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
Hey, it's the Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact Geico. Tell them, Mike.
Hey folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Are you on Facebook? Do you Twitter? So does Federal News Radio. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio Facebook group. For the latest in federal news and government contracting, visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
How do American militants like Anwar el-Awlaki get on a killer capture list? Reuters reports it's the secret panel on the National Security Council that decides. Former National Security staffer Juan Zarate says it's an important process.
You have senior national security staff along with counsel reviewing anything that the U.S. does that touches on law of war, war of terror issues.
The White House says there is no such secret panel. I'm J.J. Green.
Every day, EADS North America supports Homeland Security and Defense missions here at home and around the globe. Over land and water, in our ports and at our points of entry, EADS North America provides critical solutions and systems that protect our borders and coastlines. Our vigilance is unwavering. Our commitment is steadfast. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Efforts are ramping up as agencies will close nearly 200 data centers by the end of the year to meet the target of consolidating at least 800 of the government's 2,000 centers. In March, the Data Center Consolidation Task Force will publish government-wide best practices to include management of private, public, and traditional data centers. Join AFCEA Bethesda October 14th at the Bethesda North Marriott for an early report on the future of data center consolidation. Register today at afceabethesda.org/octbreakfast.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Lisa Dizzuti. Lisa is the president and CEO of Market Connections. And right now, aside from we're talking about, give the date again for the upcoming event, please.
Tuesday, October 18th, the Tyson's Corner Marriott. We have outgrown the Tower Club. We'll be starting at 8 o'clock.
There you go. And you can find information on the event at MarketConnectionsInc.com, all one word, no hyphens, no underscore, MarketConnectionsInc.com. I suggest you go. I don't go to a lot of events, but I do go to this one every year. Anytime Lisa does a marketing or social media release, that's one of the events where you'll definitely see me. So look for the guy in black in the back.
The guy in all black. We try to make them pretty content heavy so that people come away, they feel like they really have come away with some valuable information. And the panel helps with that too.
Yeah. And the panel is diverse enough to give some solid information on how all of these things can be used. But right now, let's get back to a little bit on how Market Connections and you are using LinkedIn, and we left off at recruiting.
Yeah. For example, we have 3 open positions right now, and social media is a big part of our recruiting strategy. We post things on the website, we put them on our blog, we put them on Twitter, we put ads on LinkedIn, we go into LinkedIn groups, we ask, you know, our staff to post positions on their profiles and the different groups that they're active in. So it's definitely, so we're using heavily for recruiting and talking about the event. We use social media tools to help increase attendance at our events as well. So definitely active, at least from my perspective, for a small company and how we're leveraging social media. And I think, as you and I have talked, there's so much more that we can be doing than we are. I think LinkedIn, we're really scratching the surface on how we're using that. So I'm looking forward to continuing to expand our use of social media. We have started using it actually in our every year in our strategic planning session. So we will go online live and use social media as a research tool to get information on our clients and on key federal agencies, and we use it as part of our strategic planning session, kind of a live feed. You know, we do have a YouTube channel. We have not used it too much to date. We are going to be posting some video on it. We're going to be videoing the event coming up on the 18th, so that'll be popped up there. We've talked about developing an internal wiki, but to this point, and I think it would be very valuable for us as a company in terms of collaboration and sharing, but we just haven't had the bandwidth to really do that. And the other thing that we haven't done and don't have plans for it on the horizon, not that we wouldn't at some point, but not in the short term, is a Market Connections Facebook page. We have not put our toe in that water yet.
I have very mixed feelings about using Facebook for business, and I have very mixed feelings about Facebook as a secure site to post information in any way.
Yeah, and I think that is part of it. There are certainly, I think, continued concerns around security and, you know, the whole personal versus professional. And I'll just tell a quick story that I heard last week. from a colleague who is a heavy user of a lot of different social media tools. And this person, she was using some sort of the linking tools that will, when you post to one site, it'll cross-link to another site.
Right.
And she was experimenting with some of that. Anyway, one night, you know, she posted up on her Facebook page, her personal page, I'm just tried some false eyelashes, and I look like I have two spiders on my face. Several minutes later, or shortly thereafter, she gets an email from one of her CEO clients that says, you know, hey, that was, you know, in a nice way, hey, that was a little bit of too much information. She's like, what? This person isn't on my Facebook page. But what had happened was that it had been cross-posted to LinkedIn, and she didn't realize it. And so, you know, those kinds of things can happen.
Yeah.
So I have mixed feelings about it, too.
Well, there's a discussion going on in a couple of groups in LinkedIn regarding Twitter postings on LinkedIn, because some people who post in Twitter share way too much information. And when they link that, it pops up on their homepage on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, way too much info.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But just to go back for a half sec, If you're focusing on LinkedIn as your key social networking site, you got to keep in mind that all of the top 100 from WashTech are there. The Fast 50, as near as I can tell, are all there. And I'm not talking in onesie twosies. I'm talking literally in hundreds of people for some of these companies.
Yeah.
They're there. So, and you can't do all of the social networking sites and do them well. So
I agree with you. You absolutely can't, yeah. Which is one of the reasons, another reason that we've stayed away from Facebook. And part of that, on a broader scale, is the reason for Market Connections' success, because I believe in focus, and social media is no different. You need to focus and do a few things well.
Agreed. So let's get into social media and your surveys. When you first started, including social media, it was as part of your broader marketing surveys.
Yeah, it was, and you know, we didn't even word it that way back then. I mean, very early on, if you consider webinars, and a lot of people do consider webinars, you know, a social media tool, we asked about webinars in conjunction with other in-person events, trade shows, seminars, conferences, that sort of thing. And they were always lower percentages in terms of how many people were using them. What we've seen over the years is that webinars are generally more widely used by a technical audience than they are a broader general audience. But, you know, they were definitely lower on the radar. And so that was asked about very early on. Then we started asking in our federal marketing and media study, which I know you're familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
We really started asking directly about that in, I think that was late 2008. And then the wording also back in 2008, and Facebook really wasn't even on the radar then. So the question was, you know, are you allowed to use online networking sites at work, such as LinkedIn and MySpace? That was how the question was worded.
Right.
And at that time, for federal folks, only 4% said yes, that they were allowed, and that was in 2008.
And some of them were using MySpace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But very small, single digits, below 5%. And we really, we have repeated the federal marketing and media study every year since, and then we added the social media study last year to go into more detail. But the following year in the marketing and media study was when we really saw it spike. And I think we all thought that it would, and were kind of anxious to see what the results were. So we asked again the following year, and it jumped from 4% up to 20%. 20% of federal respondents were allowed to access the social media sites at work. And then in March of this year, when we released this year's results, 46% said that they were allowed. So we have really seen, as I think you and I thought we would, exponential growth in the use of social media. And yes, have there been, do there continue to be concerns around security? Absolutely. I mean, we see that with just about everything. We saw it with cloud. When cloud first came out, everyone was up in arms over security. We're not going to use that. Too many issues. Well, now, as we all know, cloud is driving so much of the technology purchases in the federal space. So security is something that's an issue, but people find a way to mitigate that and get comfortable with it.
It's really the growth of the use is, again, yeah, exactly what you said, what we had hoped, what we expected, in my case, hoped, in your case, expected.
But, yeah.
The number of government people that I've connected to just in the last 6 or 8 months on LinkedIn has really spiked.
Yeah.
And they're out there. They are more careful, I believe, about who they connect with than a lot of industry people.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And we have started to do the same. You know, we don't connect just with industry. We connect with the folks that are participating in our surveys. Absolutely. And they are more careful, but they are also willing, as you say, to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Cool. Well, we're going to take a break. My guest today is Lisa DeZutti. Lisa is the president of Market Connections, and you can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Government technology professionals should prepare to attend GovCom 2011, the new trade show featuring government audiovisual communication solutions at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, November 1st and 2nd, featuring nearly 100 leading manufacturers and solutions providers showcasing the latest in audio, video, conferencing, collaboration, control systems, digital signage, and visual display technologies. GovCom will help government agencies and the military boost collaboration, enhance security, improve reliability, and cut costs. GovCom is your opportunity to see cutting-edge communications products, network with fellow technology professionals, and get valuable training from leading experts in government and industry. For more information and your free exhibits pass, visit GovCom2mshow.org and use the code FED. That's govcomshow.org. GovCom is brought to you by Infocom International, the association representing the audiovisual industry.
To the Marines who watch over the skies, it says the enemy can't see you. To the Marines who carry out their mission on the ground, it says I have your back. To adversaries, it says don't even think about it. It is the F-35B, the fifth generation multi-role fighter jet that combines short takeoff and vertical landing capability with supersonic speed and radar-evading stealth. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go. Wherever the mission takes them, our Marines know it will be there. It's the F-35B, a fighter jet that can take off and land virtually anywhere, from the most remote, austere airfields and roads to modern ships. That means it can be based close to frontline combat, shrinking the distance between base and target. For the Marines and for our nation, that's a game-changing advantage. The F-35B, the multi-role fighter that's equipped to go wherever Marines must go.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. Research data shows the importance of 5 lifestyle factors in reducing risk for type 2 diabetes. NIH's Dr. Jared Reese says the most significant risk factor is weight.
Not being overweight or obese led to the greatest protection. However, we found that overweight or obese adults with a greater number of the other healthy lifestyle factors had a lower risk of developing diabetes. This is good news because it suggests that overweight or obese adults can benefit by adopting other healthy lifestyle behaviors.
Other factors are a healthy diet, physical activity, not smoking, and modest alcohol consumption. For details on this research, visit www.nhlbi.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Retirement is expensive. Hi, I'm Mark Tabron. Join me for an informative dinner seminar on October the 18th at Mrs. K's Toll House Restaurant in Silver Spring. We'll talk about ways to help you disaster-proof your retirement. Call 1-800-783-1564 to make a reservation. Seating is limited, so call now, 1-800-783-1564. And join me on Saturday mornings at 10:30 for how to protect and grow your money on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
It's not always easy to know when a person is agitated or excited. Sometimes you may not even know when you are. So a new wearable device has been engineered to detect stress, bad or good. The sensor looks like a wristwatch but records movement, temperature, and small changes in electric currents on your skin triggered by emotion. Rosalind Picard of MIT's Media Lab is the lead inventor.
It changes with things that are changing in your brain, and you wouldn't think that information would show up on your wrist, but some of it does.
The device can help you and others understand what stresses and relaxes you. For example, people may have doubts when you say walking back and forth helps calm you down.
But when they see the signal plummet when you pace, they say, wow, that pacing looks like it's helping you. I'm not going to tell you to stop pacing anymore.
Currently, the sensor is mainly used for various research projects, but it could be available to the general public in a year. To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Lisa Dizzuti. Lisa is the president and CEO of Market Connections, Inc. You can find her at marketconnectionsinc.com. And the event coming up is October what?
October the 18th.
18th at the Fairview Marriott.
I'll have to send someone over to the Fairview Marriott to stand there. Tyson's Corner Marriott.
Right behind Tower Club.
Yes, that's right.
Route 7. Yeah. Have you done something there before? I think
we did. You know, the last media and marketing study that we did
that was
earlier
it.
This
yeah.
year. We had to move it. You know, I love the Tower Club. I always have, but we our attendance has grown, so we needed to go to a different venue. And you know, that's still convenient for everybody. The Tyson's Corner Marriott.
Right. It is. And even for those of us in Maryland, it's not that far across the river.
Right across the pond.
Yeah, so to speak. To beef up on this, I went back through like five or six of the marketing studies and the two social media studies, and we're really talking a pretty deep pool of information here. But over the past, let's call it 4 years or so, how have you seen the information grazing habits of the feds and the contractor community start to change and evolve?
Yeah, I think some of the most interesting or biggest changes that I've seen over the years is the sophistication has really grown, the level of sophistication and what tools are being used and how they're being used has changed quite a bit just over the last couple of years on both sides. You know, I don't know that I will call any big distinctions out between contractors and the federal government right now. We actually are still looking at the data. The data that we've going to talk about this morning, Mark, is hot off the presses. I just laid eyes on it yesterday from the social media study that the data we'll be sharing on the 18th. But so we may drill down a little bit more on that at the event. But what I have noticed in my early reviews of the data is that relative to other studies that we've done in the past, is wikis were big early on several years ago. We're seeing use of those drop. Content aggregators were big. In terms of the type of tools that were being used a couple of years ago. That also, in recent times, in recent studies, we've seen that drop. They're becoming less popular. Peer-to-peer networks are growing. Collaborative document editing tools, collaboration tools in general are growing. But I think, you know, podcasts, we're seeing those continue to be strong. But peer-to-peer networks is really popping up. And I think people are they're really using social media much more as a tool to inform decision-making. And I mentioned that to you, you know, in a previous segment, that we use it in our strategic planning to help inform decision-making. So I think we're seeing it not just to kind of communicate between colleagues and to communicate externally with citizens, but it's really a tool it's that grazing process that helps in that informing your decision-making, that information-gathering process to inform decisions.
Right, and the information grazing phrase I borrowed from a guy, Eric Summers, who exhibited it my shows got 15 years ago. But it's kind of apropos here because as people start to graze, just like cattle, more and more people migrate that way. Because, you know, the viral nature of what we're doing here with Web 2.0 tools, people get excited and they share. And that once it hits that that tipping point, man, just it seems like everybody's starting to pop.
Mm-hmm.
And you started your company, and this is a weird little thing, but it's true. You started your company right when email became popular.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing out of most CEOs' mouths back when email hit the fan was, oh, God, what a waste. People are going to use this to get their honey-do list. You know, oh, do we have any milk? You know, and what, 15 months later, everybody's using it.
Yeah.
You know, the visionary there was Dendy Young. Dendy was saying early on, people are going to use this for procurement. You know, boom, we're on it. And Falcon was right there. And when he moved over to GTSI, you know, they were there. But you know, when you started your company, all of the surveys were either live or phone. And now you've migrated to a lot of web-based tools. So what are we going to what kind of methodologies, and other information can you provide us about the new survey? I know you're not going to give us info results. So
I'll give you as much as I can. I mean, I probably won't give specific percentages. We'll save that for the event. I still need to take a little bit of closer look, and we're still doing some splits and cuts of the data here to try and there's so much data when you do a survey like this, so we really want to pull out what the most interesting nuggets are. But I'll certainly share some of it with you at a high level. The study this year, we fielded it back in September. We had 884 participants, so we're very pleased with the response rate that we got. We did add state and local to the mix this year. So we did interviews with federal folks, with state and local folks, as well as government contractors. So we had good mix across all of those three segments. We also did this year a little bit different. We did some in-depth interviews. So we did some 30-minute interviews with federal employees, with some government contractors, and with some social media industry experts. So we'll also be sharing some of the results of that information, which I like because it's a conversation that you have. It gets underneath the numbers, and it's colorful, and it adds some interest, I think, to the numbers that we'll be sharing on the 18th. Top tools relative to last year, what did we see? Well, the top tools really didn't change. Facebook still tops the list, followed by YouTube, followed by LinkedIn. And for that, I'm speaking strictly for the federal audience.
Mm-hmm.
What we did see change is that all of these tools are being used more widely, so more people are using them than what we saw last year. But the order of who's on top stayed the same. LinkedIn is most widely used for professional purposes by both the federal government as well as contractors, and that's probably not a surprise for anyone, but I think we have seen an uptick on the federal side over last year. I think it's been pretty widely used by contractors for a couple of years now, but we're seeing an uptick in how it's being used on the federal side as well.
Okay.
Mobile devices was the other thing that we asked about, and I think that's driving a lot of the increased usage. 49% are accessing social media sites for personal use on a mobile device, 39% for business use on a mobile device. iPhones, thank you, Steve Jobs, are the preferred device for accessing social media sites. So I think that in and of itself has ongoing and growing implications for how we are putting information on our blogs. What kind of information are we putting, you know, out when we're tweeting? Because it is and will continue to be, I believe, accessed more and more on mobile devices.
Okay. I can access, by the way, social media through my Droid. So I didn't need an iPhone to do it. But you're right. Mr. Jobs was the driving factor in that particular equation.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a couple of other things, not a big surprise necessarily, but for government agencies, the most important benefit of social media is increased citizen education, and followed closely by access to information. So it gives greater access to information. They really see those as the top two benefits to using social media. By comparison, and again, no big surprise, on the contractor side, most important benefit being marketing and promotion of the organization, really more of a branding tool than a lead generation tool, and that's followed then by thought leadership as a big benefit from the contractor side. Both sides of the fence have and continue to struggle with ROI. It's a top challenge. How do we measure the return on investment? And we'll talk a little bit more about that at the event on the 18th.
That part's going to be extremely interesting, because the ROI factor is very difficult. For a company my size, I can determine ROI by literally the number of connections I get and the number of connections I convert into clients.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily a scientific measurement on my side. But
it doesn't have to be scientific.
No.
I've always said that. I mean, scientific is great if you can have a hard and precise measure, but you can't always get that. But, you know, so what I call a qualitative measurement is a soft measurement is better than no measurement at all.
Oh, heck yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll be talking in more detail about a lot of those things at the event. I didn't speak to anything today or around the state and local results. We'll be looking specifically at, do the state and local respondents, does that audience, that segment, how does it differ from the federal side? So we'll be drilling down a little bit on that, talking more about some of the differences between contractors and government in terms of how social media is being used, what the adoption rates are, what specific sites are being used. We have some information on that, and for what purpose the different sites and tools are being used. So
okay.
We'll talk a little bit more about mobile devices, how folks are trying to attempt to measure ROI. We have some information on that, so, and perceived benefits, challenges, risks around social media. So we have a lot that we're going to try and cover in about 30 minutes on the 18th before we move into the panel.
Okay. My guest today is Lisa DeZutti. Lisa is the president of Market Connections, CEO and president of Market Connections. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, Angie. Wow, you did it, didn't you? You went over to...
Mm-hmm. Went to Walmart and got the Pioneer DEH44 HD with built-in HD radio technology.
New HD2, HD3 channels, digital sound quality, and no subscription fees.
You got it. Hey, come on, let's ride. Since the Pioneer DEH44 HD is only $120 at Walmart, I'm taking you out for dinner.
Nice.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. Ackerman.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on WFED at 10 a.m. Join me this week for my special guest, Ruth Ann Clark, Senior Market Director with Wells Fargo Bank, Commercial Banking Sector. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
How can federal agencies drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for maximizing efficiency in federal programs? Join HUD Secretary Sean Donovan and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, the Efficiency Imperative, on November 17th in Washington, D.C. Register today to save 35% at www.excelgov.com.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Lisa Dizzuti, President and CEO of Market Connections. You can find Market Connections at marketconnectionsinc.com, and you want to do so because of the upcoming, what's the name of the study?
It's social media in the public sector.
And federal, state, and local usage, as well as contractor usage. And the date and location, please?
It is Tuesday, October the 18th at the Tyson's Corner Marriott at 8 a.m.
And I'll be there.
Good.
You got it. I mean, number one, you and I are small businesses. Mine much smaller than yours. My business is me and Mary Ellen, and we work out of our home. I've been home based since 1985. You've got a relatively small staff. What, 20 or so?
Yes, about 20.
Yeah, so for companies our size deciding how to use social media and which social media to use. We were talking about this in the break. You mentioned earlier in our conversation that, you know, a few years ago, wikis were hot and everybody was predicting, you know, these are going to sky.
And now they're falling off the map.
Yeah.
I mean, not that they aren't used, but they're not up at the top anymore.
Right. But wikis were used for collaboration. And there's a lot of other collaborative type tools out there now. So when Market Connections started deploying, again, we started with this. You blogged early.
Right.
Do you do any podcasting?
Not too much. Not that much.
Well, you've got a great voice for it, so you should.
We've done a couple, but we have not done a lot.
Okay, but you have indicated earlier that podcasts are still...
Yes.
pretty strong right now.
Yes, and we have great content. So it is something that we probably can and should do for us. You know, even though we are a little bit larger than you, we still struggle with bandwidth. I mean, we have 20 people, but those 20 people are busy. So, you know, that is, you know, therein lies the challenge. So we have to be selective about where we're putting our efforts. And for us, it's always been, you know, where are your customers? We want to be where our clients are. And I'll give you an example. This, of course, is changing, but a couple of years ago, we had one of our largest clients say, we want you to use social media to do this survey. We don't want to do it by phone anymore. We want it to be done by using social media tools.
And SurveyMonkey?
No, I think it was, you know, posting on, you know, some of the social media sites. It wasn't SurveyMonkey, but I said to the client, I said, you know, we can do that, but your clients, your customers are not there yet. We can put a link, we can push it out, but we're not going to get any responses. So you need to go, and as I said, of course that is changing, and as I mentioned earlier, we are now using social media to push out survey invitations, but you need to be, and for us that's really a deciding factor, we need to be where most of our clients are, and that helps us prioritize where we're going to put our efforts. I mean, you can't do all of them, and there's so many of them out there, and you know, for better or worse, we're not bleeding edge, we're not cutting edge. We're, in terms of social media, we're doing what's tried and true. We're doing what we know has worked for others.
Well, I noticed that Twitter has popped up in the conversations, but it hasn't been dominant in the conversations. But LinkedIn has, and blogging has, and you can post, you can feed your Twitter feeds into your LinkedIn profile, mm-hmm. if you want to live on that edge. But I think more importantly, you can feed your blog into to LinkedIn, and the blogs are always going to be longer and more thoughtful, and that sort of cross pollination seems to make a lot of sense to me.
Well, and you know, it does. It absolutely makes a lot of sense, and I have to go back to your comment. It hasn't popped up a lot in the conversation because of, and that's because of me. You know, and I have to say my age, and I'm not really on Twitter that much, and it's probably why it hasn't popped up in the conversation more. But it is used here by the staff, and certainly by our younger staff, and they are really doing the heavy lifting on Twitter. And it's not me, I have to admit.
Well, there is that younger factor.
Yes. I mean, age does, and our survey results bear that out. Although you are seeing that change and you are seeing that shift, and we're seeing it in the general population where, you know, the older demographic is making greater use of these tools. But it still is a younger demographic. It's dominated by a younger demographic. We're seeing that shift, but it's still there.
The event is social media, the social media in the public sector.
It is social media in the public sector. Very good.
October 18th.
October the 18th at the Tyson's Corner Marriott. It starts at 8 a.m. I will also mention we are in the midst of planning our fourth annual federal marketing and media study, and we're going to be looking at adding several new topics to that study as well: mobile devices, smartphones, tablets. We'll be doing a deeper dive around social media. We'll be doing a deeper dive around search engines. So for those who are familiar with that study, we'll be also be looking at transportation, metro ridership. So those who are familiar with that study, if they would like to contribute any ideas or topics, we are in the middle of planning for that right now and look forward to bringing that to everybody early next year.
MarketConnectionsInc.com is where you can find out about the event and share your thoughts on the new studies. And Lisa, as always, this has been great information.
No, I am happy to be here and share it with you, Mark, and share it with your listeners. So thank you very much for the opportunity, and I hope to see everyone on the 18th.
There you go. My guest has been Lisa DiZutti, President and CEO of Market Connections. Thanks for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. These shows are archived at federalnewsradio.com. And remember, this is not my day job. If you need an outside perspective from one of the most experienced market professionals,